last week, we spoke about the Derech Eretz of how to be a good guest. This week, I'd like to flip it and speak about how to be a good host.
We're not going to do that at all this year.
Oh, so it is very important. Even though many of you probably think, you know, we're not really... But yeah, we're not. Yeah, thanks. We're not really hosting people this year. That's not necessarily true, right? You might bring someone with you to someone else's house, or you might invite someone to the yeshiva for Shabbos, or you might invite someone just if you had a tour of the building, right? You have people that you're inviting, and there are a lot of midos that we could become sensitive to, related to hosting, even if we don't actually practice this on a weekly basis. But in the future, Mirat Hashem, we're all going to be involved in Hachnasas Orchim, and therefore it's definitely an important halachic topic to learn about, and it's very related to this week's Parsha. The Rambam writes, there are two main sources that I'm going to be drawing from today. One is the Rambam in Hilchos Avel. It's in the laws of mourning, actually, in Perek Yedaled. That's what the Rambam speaks about, the mitzvot of Hachnasas Orchim, Bikur Cholim, etc. And the second one is the Sefer called Ahavas Chesed. Is everyone familiar with that Sefer, Ahavas Chesed? No, okay. Ahavas Chesed is written by the Chafetz Chaim. Okay? And just to highlight, it's a fascinating Sefer. It has all the halachos of Binam L'Chaveiro, of Chesed type of things. For example, all the laws of loaning money. When to loan, what not to loan, how to loan, mashkon, shtars, things like that. When you're allowed to be toveya, the guy, to get the money back. Right, it's all there in the lachos of Avos Chesed. Staka, how to give, how much to give, etc. It's all there. Rav Pam once said on the Yortzeit of the Chafetz Chaim, there's another sefer the Chafetz Chaim wrote. What's it called? Shmiras Lashon. Chafetz Chaim. It was called the Chafetz Chaim. That's why they called him the Chafetz Chaim. You want to say we call the Chafetz Chaim on the lachos of Lashon Hara, right? So that's what everyone knows about. Right, less than a day, a couple of lachos a day, whatever it is, people know that we don't want to speak Lashon Hara. So Rav Pam said that the Sefer Hilchos Lashon Hara, the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, the Sefer Shmiras Lashon, that's like treating the symptoms to the disease. But the Sefer Avos Chesed is the Sefer on how to treat the disease itself. And he explains, if we would love people in the proper way, we would care about people and do chesed in the right way, so we wouldn't come to speak Lashon Hara. Right? Lashon Hara is only an outgrowth of something much deeper, a deeper problem. So that's what he said. He said, the Sefer Avos Chesed, which no one in this room even ever heard of, right? That's the Sefer that you should learn to understand the core of loving other people, giving to other people, being able to do chesed with other people. That will cure the disease. And then once you have that, you never speak Lashon Hara about other people. Lashon Hara is only the symptoms of the disease. Very nice way of thought of coining and differentiating the two different svarim. So we have Avos Chesed, we have the Rambam and Hilchos Avel. The proper way to pronounce it really is Avel. Okay, but that's most people say Avel. Okay, and that's in Perek Yudalad Halacha Aleph. The Rambam says the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim is part of the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. Okay, it's not a separate mitzvah. It's under the umbrella of Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, a much broader mitzvah. The Sefer Avos Chesed in his introduction writes the same exact thing, he quotes the Rambam. But later on in Perek Gimel, the Chafetz Chaim writes that it also falls under the mitzvah of the halachta bedracha, that we want to go in the ways of Hashem, and Hashem goes ahead and does chesed, so we also want to go to do chesed. So therefore we have two broader mitzvahs of the ahavta l'reicha kamocha and the halachta bedracha. And the Gemara learns in the beginning of this week's parsha that Hachnasas Orchim is greater than greeting Hashem himself. Okay, that's the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos on Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, 127b. And that is because on the third day after Avram's Bris Milah, Hashem came to visit him, right? But while he was there, Avram noticed that there were three people walking by that seemed to have needed to be invited. So I said, Hashem, hold on one second, buddy. I'll be back. You know. And then he went ahead, and he went to do Hachnasas Orchim. So the Gemara says, you see from there that Hachnasas Orchim is greater than being Mekabel Pnei Hashchina. That's an incredible, incredibly powerful statement, and there are actually halachic ramifications to that. We're not going to get into that right now, but we'll see as we move along some of the lessons. Okay, next, the Chafetz Chaim writes that although the Gemara in Maseches Kedushin on Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph 82a tells us that Avraham Avinu kept all the mitzvot, everything, kept all the mitzvot, and that's a separate conversation. What does that mean? He kept all the mitzvot. right? He didn't have the Torah yet. That's not for now. But it says they kept all the mitzvahs. For some reason, the Torah over here goes into great detail in the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim. Right? I mean, it wasn't just that Avram did Achnasas Orchim. He did all the mitzvahs according to Chazal. So why over here, in the beginning of this week's parsha, does the Torah go into such great detail in the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim? So the Chavetz Chaim says, obviously, the Torah was coming to teach us how to do Achnasas Orchim. That the reason it went into detail is not to tell us that he did the mitzvah. He did all the mitzvahs. But it's to tell you how to do the mitzvah. And therefore, we're going to go through some of the psukim, and we're going to discuss how to do the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim. We're going to discuss five ways, five points that we glean from these psukim, and we'll try to apply it even to our everyday life, even now. Some of them isn't specific to Achnasas Orchim, it's for general derech eretz, general chesed that we want to do for other people. All right, number one. Here we go. The pasuk says, the second pasuk in this week's parsha, it says, Vayisaina vayar. He saw v'nei shlosha anashim nitzavim. Alav. There were three people standing. What does that mean? They were nitzavim. Maybe they were sitting. Who cares? What does it mean? They were standing over him. Nitzavim alav. So the Sfarno writes that the way they were standing showed Avram that they were waiting to speak to him. You know that? You know when you're talking to one person, like there's another guy standing right there, and you're like. You know, they're getting closer and closer. And like, okay. So he said, the fact that Torah highlights that they were standing was coming to show us that they were standing to speak to Avraham, and that's why the pasuk says that vayar, you saw that vayar is the crest of the pesach. He ran towards them. He didn't wait for them to come to him. He went over to run towards them, and this is a very, very important lesson. In Achnas Orchim, in general, in a lot of chasadim, a lot of times we know that people want something from us, right? It can mean they want us to invite them to go out with them during the break, or to go out with them on a Friday, or to go out with them on a Shabbos, or whatever it is. They know, you know, that they are waiting for you to do something for them, right? So you can say, okay, I'll wait for him to ask me. When he asks me, I'll say yes. Yeah, okay, I'm a good guy. No. What you see from Avram Avinu is that you don't wait. By Yaretz Lekrasim, he ran towards them. He knew, he sensed that someone wanted something from him, and he initiated. He initiated to go ahead and do the chesed. Initiating a chesed is the highest level of doing a chesed. I'll give an example. We'll take away from Achnas Orchim for a minute. We could. I speak about this often when we speak to people. Getting married or that are married, but we could find many other examples of this as well. Cleaning the dishes, right? So your mom or someone could ask you, can you help clean the dishes? So there are three different ways that you could clean dishes. Okay, and this is all, it's schlepping suitcases, it's doing anything when you're helping someone else. Right? The first response could be, okay, I'll do it. I'm willing to help. With a smile. Okay, I'll do it. I'm willing to help. That's level one of doing the chesed. Usually the person that's asking you to do this senses, you don't really want to do this. Yeah, you're willing. It would have been better if you didn't need me. I'm willing also not to help, right? So the person's going to say, all right, I asked him this time. I'm probably not going to ask him again. Right? Because I see he doesn't really want it. It's very hard for people to ask for favors. So when you see the person's willing to help, so you're not so quick to then go ahead and ask the person again. A second possible response could be, I'm happy to help, right? It's my pleasure. So that's obviously much better, right? You show them, I'm happy to help. Yeah, great, what do I do, right? So that, the person will probably ask you again because they see that you're happy to help. It's your pleasure to help. But then there's another way of doing the chesed that goes beyond all of this, and that is that you initiate the help, okay? You go to the person and you say, how can I help? Right? Can I clear off the table? We spoke last week about being a good guest, right? You initiate. You don't wait for someone to say, oh, can you please help me with this? What can I do to help? Can I take the kids out? Can I go ahead and bring out the garbage? You go ahead and you initiate. Initiating is the greatest level of doing a chesed. Because it's showing that you're thinking about the other person. You want to help, that's what chesed is, right? You want to help the other person. So I'm trying to think, what does the other person need? What can I do for him? It's not just waiting, being reactive, waiting for their request. You're going after it, and you're initiating. That's what we see from Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, like the Sfarno says, saw them nitzavim. Nitzavim, he saw that there was something going on over there. And he didn't wait for them to come over and say, can I be invited? No, he ran over towards them and grabbed the opportunity to go ahead and do a chesed. Okay, that's number one. Number two. Okay, the next pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. The pasuk says, Vayomar Hashem. Oh, it's not even Hashem. My Lord, Adonai, wasn't talking to Hashem. Im na matzasi chim beinecha, al na ta'avor me'al avdecha. If I found favor in your eyes, please don't leave. Please come in. Okay? So what do we learn from here? So Rashi points out that this is all in the singular. Okay, it says, lekrasam, he ran towards them in the plural. And then over here it says, Adonai, that's singular. Im na matzazichim be'inecha, in your eyes. Al na ta'avor, that's singular. Me'al avdecha, speaking singular. So Rashi says, what's going on? There were three people there. Why is it all in the singular? So Rashi says that he only spoke to one of them, and therefore he spoke in singular. He only spoke to one of them. But the Ramban says not that way. The Ramban says that he spoke to all of them. So why is it in the singular? Because he went to each one individually and invited them over. To this one, to this one, to this one. Right? A lot of times, I've learned this, I try to use this if I can. Right? You have a group of guys, can you say, oh, my whole shir wanted to come over. Right? Or why don't all of you come over? That's a much different effect than when you say, would you like to come over for Shabbos? Would you like to come over? Would you like to come? You get the same result at the end of the day, right? I can invite a whole group. Would your whole room like to come over? Right? And I'll ask one of you to go ask the other three. Okay, you'll come back. Fine. If I go to each one and say, would you like to come over? Would you like to come over? Would you like to come over? That it means so much more to the person that you're inviting. Right? So that's what the Ramban says. And the Ramban even says that this is a lesson in how you're supposed to go ahead and show respect towards people. Okay, so that's another type of lesson. The second lesson that we learned from the Ramban, and that is be personal in your invitation. Okay, so the first one we said was try to initiate, and the second one is try to do it specifically to every single person so they feel that you really want to have them over. Okay, number three, and this is a biggie. Okay, the pasuk says that we said that Hachnasas Orchim is part of the mitzvah of V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. So what does V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha mean? It's normally translated as you do for the other person what you would want done for yourself. Right? Okay, so for example, let's say we're going to have ice cream. And I love chocolate ice cream. Vanilla. Chocolate. Okay, so now you come over, right? And of course, I want to give to you what I would want for myself. Right? So I serve chocolate ice cream. Does that fit into V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha?
No.
But why not? It's exactly what the pasuk said. So as far as it says, that's not what the pasuk means. The pasuk means, this is a very interesting twist, the Sfarno says what it means is that you, just like you think about what you would want for yourself, so too you should think about the other person, what would he want? It's a very big difference. It's not whatever I would want for myself I put onto other people. That's called being selfish. It's what would the other person want? Just like I want to think about what I would want, I should also think about what the other person would want. So I should ask him, what is your favorite dessert? What do you like to eat? What flavor ice cream do you want? And whatever you would want, whatever your needs are, that is what I should go ahead and give towards that person. Okay. Now this is crucial when you're having guests over. And really this applies to every single type of a chesed. When we're doing a chesed with someone else, are we thinking what we would like? Or are we thinking about what the other person would like? Okay, let's say for example, at a Shabbos meal. Well, let's take the lesson from Avraham Avinu for a minute. So the next two psukim, Pasuk Dalet and Pasuk Hey, say that Avraham Avinu invited them in. Yukach na ma'at mayim. Take a little bit of water, v'rachatzu raglechem, and wash your feet. Hisharu tachas eitzom, and go sleep under the tree. Ve'echa paslechem, I'll give you some bread. Just don't leave. Now, does this sound like the person we're supposed to be learning how to do Achnas Orchim from? I mean, Achnas Orchim, she give a 50-course meal, right? Invite him in, give him a lot of water, take a big shower, maybe want a jacuzzi. What is that business is this? A little thing for your it sounds very strange, right? So here the Ramban says a fascinating thing. This is unbelievable. Exact opposite of what you would have thought. The Ramban says that he realized, we spoke about this a little bit last week from the guest side. Ramban says that he realized that these people were on the road. They were on their way. They weren't looking to stop and hang out now for another 3 days. They were traveling. So he didn't want to start burdening them. Come in, take a 4-hour bath, 3-hour meal. No, he realized that that wasn't their need. That's not what they wanted. They were traveling. They needed a break for a minute. A break for a minute? Okay, a break for a minute, so I'll give you a little bit of stuff. He didn't want to delay their journey to give them a big bath, spend the night, eat a heavy meal. That's not what they wanted. So therefore, he said, I'm not going to force you to anything. Just a little water. Take a little rest. A little bit of food. And everything will be okay. It showed that he was doing it what's best for the guest. Nice rhyme. Okay? That was his goal. Now, once he stayed, what's the pasuk say? This is a fascinating thing, right? It was almost like tricked them, right? The next pasuk says, so what did he give them? He gave him meat and tons of stuff, right? So, what happened? So there, even the Chizkuni points out that even if you look at the specific types of stuff that he offered them, again, I'm not going to compel you, that's what he said originally. I'm not going to force you to stay over. I'm not going to force you to take a bath. I'm not going to force you to eat a whole meal. Just come in. I'm with you. I'm here to help you. Oh, so now they came in. And now he said, okay, but I'm going to give you a little bit more. But the Chizkuni points out that even the things that he gave them tongue. Why tongue? Because tongue, they don't have to wait for him to skin the whole animal and prepare it. Right? It's much easier for him to be able to serve it. Or ugos, he gave them. Ugos are a cracker-like bread. They don't have time to wait for the bread to go ahead and rise. Okay? So he gave them fast food. That's a good trivia question. Who is the fast food, first fast food person in the Torah? Avraham Avinu. He gave them fast food because he realized that they didn't want to stick around for so long. And that's very, very important. That when we have guests, or when we do chesed, we're trying to do what's best for them. Yes, it makes us feel very good. We have like a whole fancy schmancy thing for the person. But if that's how they want, then don't give it to them. Do what's best for them. And here's a fascinating story. This, believe it or not, comes up two more times in halacha besides the story I'm going to tell you. I used it once, but listen to the story, okay? Rav Lev Chassman was the Mashgiach in the Chevron Yeshiva. I think he was Nifter in 1931 or something like that. So he once had the opportunity to eat Friday night meal at Chafetz Chaim. Okay, imagine it, right? So he got there, and they got home from shul, and everyone knows, right? What do you do when you get home from shul on Friday night? What's the first thing they do at the table?
Sing.
What do you sing? Shalom Aleichem. Everyone knows. That's ABCs of Judaism, right? They skipped Shalom Aleichem. Skipped Shalom Aleichem? Can you believe that? Was this guy religious? This is a Chafetz Chaim. He skipped Shalom Aleichem. So Rav Lev Chassman was like, what is going on? So he asked him, he said, what? Afterwards, he said to him, he said, why did you veer from the custom to recite Shalom Aleichem? And the Chafetz Chaim answered with a smile. You, my guest, are certainly hungry, and I wanted to feed you. The angels aren't so hungry, so they could wait. That's an amazing, amazing statement. He realized that his guests were very, very hungry, so he wanted quickly to get to the meal. What do you mean, Shalom Aleichem? You got to sing Shalom Aleichem, and you got to do it 3 times, right? What do you mean? No, that's not as important as feeding my guests. So he was able to look at the need of his guest and say, wow, I have to go ahead and feed them before Shalom Aleichem. I can sing afterwards. You can't wait. The angels can wait. Now, believe it or not, in halacha, this comes up in two places, tucked in in like a Shaar HaTzion, which is written also by the Chafetz Chaim, in the Mishnah Berurah, also written by the Chafetz Chaim, right? The Chafetz Chaim threw this in Halacha. One is in Hilchos Shabbos. The Halacha is, Mishnah Berurah says, in Simin Reish Ayin Aleph, in Hilchos Kiddush. So the Rama writes over there that you should say Kiddush as close to the start of Shabbos as possible. Okay, next week, but another time we're going to have a shiur about the Kiddush and what's the point of Kiddush and how does Kiddush work. But the Rama says it's supposed to be really at the very beginning of Shabbos, as fast as possible. And therefore, you should begin your meal immediately upon returning home. But, says the Mishnah Berurah, if you're not that hungry, okay, so then you could delay your meal in order so that when you eat in a half an hour and 45 minutes, you'll enjoy the food more. Okay? There's a mitzvah of oneg. And the Mishnah Berurah says that the mitzvah of oneg, to enjoy the food, that supersedes the obligation to make kiddush right away. I mean, of course, you have to make kiddush before you eat, right? But you can make kiddush in 45 minutes. Make kiddush in an hour. Again, normally the halacha is you have to make kiddush right away. But if that's going to make you not hungry later, or you're not hungry right now, you're not going to enjoy the food as much, so you let it wait until you're a little hungrier, then make your kiddush. Okay, that's the halacha. And then the Chafetz Chaim adds that this is only if the delay will not interfere with shalom bias. Okay, with, for some reason, if your wife wants to eat right now, even if she's not so hungry, but she just wants to eat right now, then you have to do it. Or if there's the guests are not eager to eat, especially if they're poor. But if the guests are eager to eat, so then you cannot wait, and you can't make them wait, just so you could enjoy the oneg in a greater way. The guests come before this idea of even enjoying your Shabbos food. He writes, you're stuffed already, you ate too much right before Shabbos, tough. You have guests, they're hungry, got to make kiddush right now, and start your meal. And the second place that the Chafetz Chaim brings this up is in Hilchos Sukkah. In Siman Tav Reish Lamed Tes, Sif Hei, 639, number 5. So the Rama writes over there, then the first night of Sukkah, as we know, is halacha to eat in the Sukkah. Right? You always have to eat in the Sukkah, right? But the first night specifically, you have to eat in the Sukkah. And the Rama writes that even if it's raining and it's uncomfortable, still you should eat in the Sukkah. Okay, even though the rest of the Sukkahs you don't have to. But the first night he says, even if it's raining and it's a little uncomfortable, you should go ahead and eat in the Sukkah. So the Chafetz Chaim writes in the Mishnah Berurah, he writes that since many great Rishonim disagree with this ruling of the Rama, and hold there's no obligation if it's raining and you're uncomfortable, so you should do it, eat there, but don't make a Leishay Basukkah. Meaning we have this problem here. So first night is Sukkahs. It's raining. It's uncomfortable to sit in the Sukkah. Do I sit in the Sukkah or not? Rama says, yes. And make a bracha. Leishay Basukkah. Others should say, no. It's raining. You're not supposed to go in the Sukkah. So what do I do? Mishnah Berurah has a compromise in the middle. Sit in the Sukkah, but don't make the Leishay Basukkah. Okay. But then he says, the ideal would be, because you have this opinion that says you're supposed to sit in the Sukkah with a bracha, wait. Wait till late at night. Maybe the rain's going to stop. And then you could go in there. There's no rain. And according to all opinions, you could go in there and say a Leishay Basukkah. That would be the best thing. But says the Chafetz Chaim in the Shaar HaTzion, which is on the bottom of the Mishnah Berurah, which the Chafetz Chaim wrote as well. He writes, but if the guests are poor and probably haven't eaten all day long, then you should start the meal right away, even though you won't be able to make the bracha of Leishay Basukkah. And he says that delaying the meal in that case might even be an avera of Baal Ta'acher. Okay, that's a halacha. If I invite someone over and I owe them something now and I don't give it, it's an avera. So the Chafetz Chaim, it's an unbelievable thing. The Chafetz Chaim says how much he takes into the sensitivities of the guests, that if the guests need the food, we push off Shalom Aleichem, we might push off the idea of, you know, waiting for the Kiddush to be a little later so you can enjoy the meal a little better, or waiting till later at night so you can make your bracha of Leishay Basukkah on the first night of Sukkot. Forget it. Forget that bracha. The guests are hungry. You got to go ahead and eat the meal. Absolutely incredible.
You still sit in the Sukkah, right?
You could, yeah.
Yeah. The guests.
Yeah. Eat. That's more important that they eat, right. So that's lesson number 3. You got to get into the guests' minds. What do they want? What do they need? That's why you're inviting them over. You're not inviting them so you can have a nicer Shabbos meal. You're inviting them over so you can give towards them and fulfill their needs. And I forgot to mention this before. The halacha is that even if there's a guy who's rich, and theoretically he could pay his own way, there's still a mitzvah. Mariel writes that there's a mitzvah to invite him. He doesn't have a home right now. He doesn't have a place to go. You don't say, well, he could just pay for a hotel room and get a meal. He could afford it. So there's no mitzvah for me to do achlas zorim. That's not true. That's called right now, he's in need, and there's a mitzvah to invite him over. Any person's in need of something, it's a mitzvah to invite him over, needs a place of a meal, needs a place to stay, it's a mitzvah to achlas zorim. Yeah.
I feel like when you invite someone over, they feel like family, and they don't really want you to go out of their way for you to change your customs, and for you to change for them. Meaning like...
Correct.
They feel bad.
Correct. So that's why you have to be a smart host. You're right. You have to do it in a way that they don't feel it. They don't realize that you're doing this or doing that. They don't realize that you changed the menu for them. They don't realize that you went ahead and you're rushing for whatever it is. You have to be smart. You have to be savvy. You have to make them feel comfortable. It's gonna make them uncomfortable. So then you gotta weigh that up. Listen to step number four. We'll get 1 second, and you're gonna appreciate this even more. Okay. So the pasuk says, this is one of my favorite Torahs in the whole wide world. Okay. That's my introduction. Okay, now everyone's listening. Okay, now so the pasuk says in pasuk Ches that he gave him the food. Okay, he gave him all the food, and then the pasuk says, "V'hu omeid aleihem tachas ha'etz vayochelu." And in English, it says, "And he stood over them beneath the tree, and they ate." Okay, they ate under the tree. Tachas ha'etz, under the tree. So the Baal HaTosos say the following statement. Okay, what does it mean that? Why do we care that they were sitting, eating under the tree, like the Torah's pitching under trees? Oh, like why is that important? Why is that important? They were eating under the tree, right? But why is that important? Why is that important for this story? Like, were there rocks on the side? Was it a nice day outside? Isn't really. Why is it important so much, like the ambiance? You're right. We know that he told them to sleep under the tree, right? But why does it say that they sat under the tree? Why the stress around? So the Tosfos Hashalim says as follows. He says the word tachas doesn't always mean under. The word tachar also has a different meaning in the Chumash. Anyone know what that is?
Instead.
What?
Instead.
Yeah, what's an example? Instead of. Ayin? Ayin tachas ayin. What does it mean, ayin tachas ayin? It doesn't mean an eye under an eye, right? It's an eye for an eye, instead of. Very good.
He's not under the tree, he's outside, he gave
that. Even more, you ready for this? The Tosa says that he stood there instead of a tree. He stood there like a tree. Avravina stood there blocking the sun so that they wouldn't get the sun in their face. Can you imagine that? You're sitting in your living room, right, and the sun's coming through the window and your shade's not working, whatever it is, and you see the guy sitting right next to you, the sun's like beating down on him while he's eating his challah. So what do? You get up and you go like this, you know, to make sure the sun, they block the sun, that the sun doesn't bother him. Unbelievable! That's what Avravina did. He stood there like a tree instead of the tree to block them. That's beyond, right? That's a chesed beyond. So I'll tell you, very interesting, the word chesed does not mean kindness. Okay? How do I know that? The whole world translates it as kindness. Because the pasuk says, in Kedoshim, the pasuk's talking about all the forbidden relationships. Okay? And it says that you get punished for incest. And the pasuk says, when we're relating to the relationship between a man and his sister, it says, ki chesed hu v'nichrasu. It's a chesed, and therefore he will get kares. Incest with your sister is a chesed, and therefore you'll get kares. What? What does that mean? Right? It's an act of kindness, and therefore you're going to get kares? What is this? Oh, so says Rabbeinu B'chai, and the pasuk over there in Parashas Kedoshim, he says, you can look it up, by the way, Parak Chaf Pasuk Yitzayin, 2017, okay? Rabbeinu B'chai says over there that that's not what chesed means. Chesed means going beyond. For example, we know we have someone could be called a chassid, right? Chassid nowadays means like you got a strimel and whatever. That's not what the word means. Chassid means someone who goes beyond. Somebody goes lefnim mishuras hadin, goes beyond the call of duty. That is a chassid. Therefore, like the Rambam writes this in Pirkei Avos and other places, chesed means you go beyond, you do something like way beyond what's expected. So the Torah is saying, says Rabbeinu B'chai, incest with your sister? Ugh! That's beyond! That's like beyond in the bad way. When we say we do a chesed for someone else, we're going beyond in the good way. But the word means to go beyond. You could go beyond in the good way, you could go beyond in the bad way. Chesed does not mean, oh, I did a nice thing for someone. It means I'm going way beyond what was the call of duty, what was required for me. I don't owe anything. I owe nothing, this guy. And I'm going to do something. That's going beyond. But if you did me a favor and I do a favor back to you, that's not called doing a chesed. That's paying back. Right? Even if it's not money. You did something for me, I'll do it back for you. Chesed is, I'm going beyond what was called for. There's no reason for me to do this, but I'm doing it. That's called a chesed. Going beyond. You could go beyond in a bad way also. That would also be called a chesed. So here we see, I think, one of the highlights of Avraham Avinu in doing a chesed, getting up and standing there like a tree. That's beyond, right? And that's when we say that we want to act like Avraham Avinu. We don't want to just do nice things, invite someone over for a meal. We want to go beyond. We want to try to think about how we can make that person the happiest. Okay. There's another area of Achnasas Orchim that a lot of people don't know about, and that's what I want to speak about. And that is the mitzvah of livaya, escorting the guest. Okay? There's a mitzvah when you have a guest over to escort them out the door. Okay? This mitzvah, the Rambam says in Hilchos Avel, Perek Yudalet Halacha Beis, the Rambam says that's greater than the mitzvah of Achnas Zorchim itself. It's greater than the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. It's greater than the mitzvah of being a Sameach, a Chassan, and a Kala, helping out a Kala get married. He says it's bigger than all of them. The mitzvah of Levaya. What is that? So, Rashi says that the pasuk says that Avram planted an eshel, a tree. And the Gemara says that tree, what did that represent? Achila Shtia Levaya. Eshel, Aleph Shin Lamed. It's an acronym for Achila, food, Shtia, drink, and Levaya, escort. That is what he used to do. Okay? I don't know who just put this up here. One of you guys? Oh, okay, you set me up. You know that? Thank you, Shadi. I really appreciate that. You're a Navi. Okay, so the Achila Shtia Levaya. Food, drink, and escort. That's what he did. Food, drink, and escort. That in that order. You always escort your guest. The Rambam writes, like I said, anyone who doesn't is as if he sheds blood. How's that? Based on the Gemara says that anyone who escorts his fellow who came over, even just four amos at the beginning of his journey, gives him protection. By you escorting the person, gives him protection for the rest of the journey. And the Marsha says, because when a person provides such an escort, even without leaving the town, again, just in the beginning of the journey, he's showing his desire that the traveler suffer no harm. And Hashem responds to that by giving an extra measure of protection on that person because of the desire that you have that he should be protected. Hashem comes and gives that protection. Because very important, you have a guest that comes over to the yeshiva, you invited him over to see it, you've got to walk him out. Don't say, oh, by the way, up the door and around, walk him out. Levaya, you escort the person. Okay? The Chavetz Chaim says that since this mitzvah is so important, it gives divine protection, it applies even when the streets are well marked. I mean, the arrows, the guy's not going to get lost, he knows how to get home. It's so clear, the street sign, lights, whatever it is. No. Because the idea is giving him protection from robbers, from other people, that not just to get lost. So you have to go ahead and do it anyway. So how does this fit to the board over here? So there's a famous story. This is quoted in the Sefer Avos Chesed, which I think hopefully everyone's going to start learning. Okay, in Perek Gimel Halacha Beis, there it's not quoted from in the name of the Vilna Gaon, but in the Makor Chesed, one of the notes on the bottom of the Sefer Avos Chesed, it says the story was with the Vilna Gaon, and that is as follows: that there was a guy in Vilna who was known for his Achnasas Orchim. One day, his house burnt down. And people were shocked. Here, someone, he invited so many people to his house all the time, now his house burns down. Why didn't he merit that Achnasas Orchim that he did to protect the house? So they went to the Vilna Gaon, and the Vilna, but this does not apply now to every single house, Chas V'Shalom, that ever burns down. This time there's a specific story that happened in Vilna. They went to the Vilna Gaon and they asked him, what's the deal? And he said that the person was makbid. He was very careful and very good about offering food and drink, but he never escorted his guests out. So what? So when you have the word Eshel, which isn't just a seminary in the old city, right?
Eshel,
and you have the Aleph is Achila, right? And the Shin is Shtia, and the Lamed is Levaya, right? But you don't have it, you only have the first two, what are you left with?
Eish.
And that's why he said that the house, in his specific situation, burnt down.
Is that what separates
Eish? Of course.
They would, I guess,
I don't know. Maybe. Okay. The Gemara actually says, just to give you an idea of how the schus of Levaya, of escorting people out, how great it is, the Gemara says in the Masechta Sota, Mem Vavu Beis 46b, the Gemara tells a story. In the first chapter, the first parak of Shoftim, so Bnei Yisrael are trying to capture portions of Eretz Yisrael, and the Shvatim, Ephraim and Menashe, they were having difficulty locating the entrance to Beit El. Okay, Beit El, that's where they were supposed to go, and they couldn't find the entrance. So there was a Knanit man over there who showed them the way with a small gesture. The Gemara says he either twisted his mouth like this, you know, that way, or with a point of the finger, that, okay? Not only was that man spared when the entire city was wiped out, but he went on to build the city of Luz. The city of Luz was a famous city that the Malach HaMaves, the angel of death, had no power there, and no one ever died in the city of Luz. Gemara says the people in Luz had to die, they had to walk out to die. Okay? So what this guy did, by a simple little thing with his finger or his mouth, he was zocha to a tremendous thing. And that's what the Gemara says, that someone who bothers to escort his guest personally merits even more reward. This guy did nothing, and you're walking him out, 4 hours. Yeah?
Is this to say that like, you're not a guest at somebody's house, and they're not escorting you out?
Or
like, as I'm escorting
out? That's a good question. I need to think about that. You're doing him a favor, you're saying. And your favorite, yeah. You could ask. You could always ask. Yeah. You could always ask. A lot of people don't know this, by the way. A lot of people don't know this halacha. I try to walk down the guy, you know, from my apartment, walk down the stairs, walk to outside. It's very important. What?
Who's this man?
He was a Kanani. No, he wasn't even Jewish.
Who's he speaking to?
To the Shvatim of Ephraim and Menashe. Ephraim and Menashe, they were trying to get into Beit El. They couldn't find a way to get in. And he's going to show them... He showed them in. Okay, so we spoke about five different areas how we could be a better host, and then we also branched out to some side topics along the way. One was you want to make the first move, right? You want to go ahead, you want to initiate the conversation. We spoke about initiating in chesed is always the greatest way to do chesed. Getting personal, invite every single one individually. Don't just do group types of stuff. Go to each person and let him feel like he's wanted. Do the best for your guest, right? We spoke about how the Sfarno v'hatlo yecha kamocha means getting into the other person's heads. What are his needs? And we saw how Avram didn't want to burden them by inviting them over. He gave them fast food. He offered them originally little stuff to show them that he's not going to burden them. It's not going to be difficult for them to come over. We spoke about Rav Chasman and the story with the Chavetz Chaim. We're not saying Shalom Aleichem. We spoke to other two cases about Sukkos and Oneg Shabbos, where we see that we're mevater. We give up on certain halachos in order that our guests could be able to eat right away. The fourth one was going above and beyond. Avram Avinu acting like a tree, Tachas Eitz, instead of the tree, because chesed means to go beyond. It doesn't mean just to do a nice act of kindness. And the last one we spoke about, number five, was doing the mitzvah of levaya, of escorting people out of the house. Any guests you ever have, that's a mitzvah that's greater than Achnasas Orchim, which was greater than Bimim Kalosh Pnei Shechina. That's amazing, an amazing thing. We said how it gives a person protection and allows him to be protected on his journey. And the person who does the Levaya benefits a lot of reward, like the man, the Knani man from Luz. Yeah, two questions.
My family very often has irreligious or non-Jews over for a Shabbos meal. So in terms of, we live on the top floor of the apartment, so they're not going to take the stairs. So often we just say, take the elevator down to the lobby. But is that considered...
escorting
that? Not escorting. Like, is that considered okay? Because Hanasas Orchim, or Levi is so important, you kind of override Shabbos for it.
That's a good question. And Amir Tisham, we're going to have a shiur very soon about that. About when you have guests that aren't religious over, and certain halachos might have to be...
sacrifice.
Like brachos. Like, how can you give them the food? He's not going to make a bracha. Right? So I'm giving him food that's an avera called lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. I'm putting a stumbling block in front of the person. I wouldn't give him the food, he wouldn't have eaten it. So why am I allowed to do that? So we're going to actually learn those halachas. Yeah?
But if you're having like a meal, like a, you're making the bracha on challah and wine, he's answering, I mean, just tell him before
they have. Correct. Then you would be meyach is 100%. Then you get out of all those problems. Yeah, except by the fact you invited him over, he might drive over.
Yeah,
that's right. All those types of things, and that's what he's speaking about. Okay, right. Okay, so we're gonna have to. That's a separate conversation. Please remind me about that shaylah afterwards. Yeah.
So you said about Adam that you stood over him like a tree. I feel like a guest would feel really weird.
Yes, that's what like Sean said. You have to. I'm just saying what he did to block the light and show that. So if you can make him feel uncomfortable, then it's against what you. Right, I'm saying this isn't a rule. Make sure you stand like a tree. You know, you have to. But the soul we see from Avraham Avinu, obviously, we're trying to make him feel comfortable. Menachem, last question.
If you live in an apartment building, you have to walk down the stairs outside. Outside the apartment.
They say three steps.
The ideal would be to go down, but some people hold that once you leave your apartment, that's totally fine. Once you walk down. Okay, guys, have a great day, great week.